Well, I am actually quite excited because this message was one that I have believed that actually speaks to every one of us. Now, no one is exempt. You know, every day we make choices, don't we? We choose what to wear, we choose what to eat, who to talk to, where we're going to go. We make these little bits of choices without even thinking much about them because they've become mundane things of life, haven't they? And we don't process them. But believe it or not, we actually do. We have preconceived ideas, and we start to build up on that, and that's where we end up making bad choices sometimes. Have we all made bad choices? I have made plenty of bad choices. Some of our choices can be hurtful. Some of our choices can actually turn out to be very good choices. But either way, we have to think through our choices, don't we? And have you noticed there's a bit of a snowballing effect when you do something bad? It always, not when you do something good, you win a lotto, that's it, you're done. But whenever you do something bad, there's a snowballing effect. It just explodes as if that is not enough. We're talking about it, we thought, imagine you wake up very late. You wake up very late and then you thought, oh, okay, I'm not going to have my usual breakfast. I'm going to actually end up making some fruit juice. And it explodes on you. You're already ready for work. It explodes on you. Your dress is damaged. You have to change. Before you know it, you're going through the laundry and you find there's no clean clothes. So you whoop up a t-shirt. You end up just a t-shirt, a good jacket. You think, oh, okay, I think I'm going to make it to work. You rush in the car as if that is not enough. There isn't enough fuel in the car. And then you think about it, you're already running late, so you might not get parking as well at work. So what do? You jump on a train, you rush into work, you realize you're late for a meeting. Everyone is waiting for you. And then you think, oh, okay, I'll get it all together. Oh, I forgot my laptop bag. What a start to a day. If only I had woken up earlier. Don't we have those if only moments? We all do. If only I had woken up earlier. If only I didn't go to that party last night. If only I didn't drink and drive. If only I just trusted God. If only moments. If only I had not gambled. They all vary in terms of the extent, but they all are centered on the one thing. Just a choice. Just a choice. And it ends up exploding in your face. And there's a ripple effect. The Bible is full of so many men and women who had these if-only moments. Samson, who remembers Samson? He was a married man. He sees a prostitute. He likes her, goes with her, and he's subdued to her army, to her people, leading up to his death. Just a choice. Unnecessary drama. You've got Jonah. He runs away from his assignment. He's supposed to be in Nineveh. He decides, no, I'm not going to do that. He goes, gets on a boat. They throw him out. He ends up in the stomach of a whale. Back to where God wanted him to be. Just a choice. Ananias and Sapphira. They chose to keep the proceeds of their property when they were supposed to be having communal property. It was just a choice. Maybe I'll keep some to myself and not give it to God. And they're struck dead. Some people are not always lucky to get the restitution for their choices, but some are. How does that happen? Paul says, for I do not understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, but for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. We all have those moments. You keep trying. I'm trying to get clean. I'm trying to be obedient. I am trying to get up early in the morning. I am trying. But the world doesn't see that you're trying. They see the choices that you make and end up calling you a bad person. But you're not bad. It's just your choices. Our choices are not abrupt. They're not split-second choices, but they are a manifestation of our minds. It all starts in the mind. What we feed our mind. We start to justify everything that our hearts really want to do. And it's so funny that now people use the term, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart and find happiness. How can I follow a deceitful heart? How? We wonder why we get to where we are. But it starts in the heart, then the mind processes. You know when we say the saying that your mouth speaks faster than your mind? Yeah. Where is your mind taking it from? Your mind still has to process what's in your heart. It's your heart that needs to be fixed. We start to rationalize the little choices that we make. Before we know it, they become big decisions. They become habits and they become character. Just because of a choice. Our choices are because of our passions and our desires. What we are fond of. What we love. You see something, you start to feel, this is really good. I love that dress. I think it will look pretty on me. You decide to buy a dress instead of pay your rent. How ridiculous can that choice be? But it was just a desire. My message today, you've already figured it out, is spectacular choices. Spectacular choices. And I want to take you to this very interesting story in the book of Joshua, where there is a very interesting choice. In the book of Joshua, we see that Joshua is coming after a very big person, Moses, who's a leader who's supposed to take people across into the promised land. And Joshua comes thereafter to do the same. So there is an assignment already set out for him that he's supposed to carry through. And Joshua is an obedient person. He loves God, just like you and I. He loves God. He listens to God. And the book of Joshua starts off in chapter 1. It says, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to the fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I love this beginning of the book of Joshua because it applies to all of us to be strong and to be courageous, to lean into God, to just pay attention to God in all, not a few, but all aspects of our life. So we find that Joshua does that. Every day, he's calling on God and he's living his life depending on God for direction. And they managed to cross over, something that they had not done because they were waiting for 40 years due to disobedience. But Joshua is obedient. He is strong. He is courageous. And they cross over. Life is good. Life is so good. But you know what happens? When you go further into chapter 9, after Israel has moved into the promised land, God explicitly told Joshua, do not make a covenant with the people in Canaan. I see your face, Pastor David. You can see where this is going. Yes, he says, do not make a covenant with the people in the land that you're going to. Right? All the occupants of Canaan were supposed to be killed. So, what happens now is, from nowhere, nomads they come in, and they're dressed up in tattered clothes. They look like slaves. They look poor, and they come and they appeal to Joshua for mercy. They come and they ask him, "Can you take us in?" Joshua is a kind person. What's wrong with that? But how many things come disguised in our lives? This is exactly what happens to him. There's so many things that defraud us of our values because they're disguised. We have to pay attention. So what happens? They beg him, and then they have a treaty with him, and he agrees to take them in. After a few days, he realizes, I've been tricked. These people actually belong in this land. These are the Gibeonites. But he made an agreement with them. Now he cannot back off. Word is already going around that he has taken them in. And now it appears to people that he actually conquered them. And everyone thinks, hey, let's go and fight these people. So people are now coming to fight the Gibeonites who are under him, under Joshua. He's compelled to protect them because he swore to protect them. But you know what? He had a choice in this moment to say, hey, you fooled me. You tricked me. Get out. You're on your own. He didn't do that. He honored his word. He was willing to go through the consequences of his choice. One split moment that he decided he was going to lean on his own understanding and make a choice instead of going back to ask God, should I take these people in? One split moment. Well, because he just felt, I am a leader. I've got it under control. I know what I'm doing. I'll take the Gibeonites in. Just a choice. Leads up to another snowballing effect. Another choice that he has to make. But he makes a good choice. He honors his vow. And what is amazing is what God does for Joshua. God shows up. God shows up because God made a covenant. God made a promise to Joshua that no army will defeat you. And God is supposed to honor this. So God honors this promise. And as they are fighting the armies that are coming against them, guess what? Something spectacular happened. The moon and the sun stood still. Nothing that has ever been recorded in history like that. Don't we all wish it would stop still for us right now and we can clean up our mess? And that's where we're going today, where we want that same miracle. God is going to show up today. He's already here. And that miracle, you deserve it. Yes, you made a bad choice. Yes, you were drinking and partying. That's all right with God because he's a God of mercy. He is going to show up because he promised you. You do not deserve to continue living a life of confusion just because of a bad choice. God is not in the business of stealing your inheritance. He gave it to you. He will honor his word. You are his child. He made a promise. He made a promise not to forsake you. He will not leave you stranded today. You cannot hope from one bad choice to another just because of one choice. And all of a sudden you think that's the end of the world. No, it is not. If God could do it for Joshua, he surely can do it for you. I am reminded of Abraham. Abraham was given a promise that there shall be a son, Isaac. But again, they made a choice with his wife, which resulted in Ishmael. But that didn't mean that God was going to take away the promise he made to Isaac, to Abraham. No, God is not going to take away your promise because you made a mistake, because you made a bad choice. You still have to honor your consequences. However, God will be with you. As he said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I believe God will give you the wisdom that you need to go through the consequences of your decisions. I believe God is going to be there to provide you with the tenacity that you need to face life again, to start again. He's going to equip you. That is what God is all about. Amen. I believe no one plans to fail. No one plans to go bankrupt. No one plans to get divorced. No one plans to be an addict. Nobody. But does it just happen? No. It's a consequence of choices. A buildup of choices. We cannot live life just thinking, I will follow my heart and find happiness. We have deceitful hearts. But what do we do? God, search my heart. Search my heart, oh God. And when you reach that place in the crossroads, God will show up. He will show up. But you've got to be willing to wait. Don't make the split-second decision. Wait and allow God to direct you in the way that he has to. Wait for his guidance. But what happens in the waiting process that we all do not like to do is self-evaluation. In the waiting period, you may be forced to make changes to your lifestyle. In the waiting period, you may be forced to change who you align with. In that waiting moment, it's never easy. When you see that whatever choice you're making is an easy way out, you know it's not the right choice. You automatically know it's not the right choice because the waiting period is not easy. But guess what? In that waiting moment, there is one good thing, the peace of God that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what you lean into. When you find you've got peace in that waiting moment, you know God is taking over. Now, I'm not talking about those moments where people do the most bizarre things and say, I had peace in my heart. No, 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 no. We're not talking about the feeling of, oh, I think I'm calm. No, we're talking about the inner peace that comes from God. Let's not rationalize our choices. Let us not rationalize our waiting period. In saying that, while you wait, there will be two options. One is clearly obedience, and the other is disobedience. But we have fancy words for it. As usual, we rationalize it. Love is a choice. Forgiveness is also a choice. Honesty is a choice. Just as lying is a choice. Stealing a choice. There's always the two sides of the coin, but you've got to be willing to wait. Life is not like you toss a coin and you say heads or tails. You wait for the will of God. In that waiting period, God shows up. God shows up. He is right there. And it's not about sounding all religious, but even when you're making those choices, He's right there. He's right there. But it just takes a split second for us to just think, you know what? Let me just cover you up while I make this mess. That's sort of what we do, isn't it? He's right there while we're making the good and the bad choices. Because He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's right there when you get on the train. He's right there when you're angry. He's right there when you get to work. He's right there when you're cooking. In all our aspects of life, He is right there. Physically, He is there. He's the omnipresent God. Let's just lean on Him. Just wait. Because we cannot foresee the consequences of our choices, only God can see that. Only God can see that. When Peter was told by Jesus, "You're going to deny me three times," he had already seen that. But Peter, being so faithful, says, "No, that could never happen." But you know what? That's what Jesus is like to us. He can see, God can see your tomorrow. He knows, because he's the one who's got your future, but you cannot see it. And because you cannot see it, isn't it a better place to just turn to Him and surrender? Just lean into Him and surrender your heart. Wait on Him. All He requires is for you to be strong and courageous. That's all He requires for you, to trust Him, to trust Him. There's a word that frequently comes out in the Bible, and that is remember. Remember. Remember God is faithful. Remember God loves you. Remember the book of the law. Remember to meditate on it day and night. Remember. When we make poor choices, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden we hate God. No, that's not what it means. It's just we forget His presence and we lean on our own understanding. The temptation can be too great. But God is there to deliver you. God is there to make you turn the other way. This morning, just remember this. Trust in the Lord always. Trust in the Lord always. Just as you find it easy to pick up a dress and say, "This is what I'm going to wear." Believe it or not, it took you years to decide on your wardrobe. It looks simple today, but it took you years to fall in love with that style of clothing. So you build up on a passion. Have the same passion for Jesus. Have the same passion. Have the same desire for the things of God. No matter how difficult the moment can be, it's a split second of a choice built up on bad habits. Proverbs 4 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." To guard your heart means to be protective of it, What do you feed yourself? What do you make excuses for? What do you make excuses for? Protect your heart. Protect your heart and allow God to be in it. 2 weeks ago, I got this ticket, a speeding ticket. I know, I was so devastated. It broke my heart. I tried to think how it happened, where it happened. I just couldn't figure it out. But you know what? Split second choice. Where I always said, my foot is a bit heavy on the pedal. I will never say that again after this ticket. Like me, you too have excuses for bad behavior. You too have excuses for those little things. Oh, they stirred me up, and so I was angry. You provoked me. You too have excuses. We always say we go by African time. That's an excuse. That's an excuse right there. I've been in Australia 12 years. I cannot keep saying that. And today, you cannot keep making excuses for your choices. God is a God of love who restores. He is not in the business of taking away your blessings because you made a bad choice. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? And so today, I know I'm not the only one who's made a blunder. I'm not the only one. But you know what? I refuse to allow that one choice to build up a character of defiance. I refuse to keep on going that way with the leg that's heavy on the pedal. I made a choice and said, that's it. Now I drive so carefully and checking on my speedometer. Things that I never really did. I thought I was cautious enough. But hey, it's all about guarding the heart. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. From the abundance of your heart comes out your character. If God loves you today, just as he loves me, he wants to give you a second chance to restore your life. Just as he did for Joshua, he wants to pause. He wants to pause. And he wants you to be able to fight whatever battle, whatever army. And he's going to equip you for it.